All right, we're here, Vanessa. And haven't wanted to speak, but we just recently in the past rewatched all the Hunger Games movies and made us want to talk about it. So what's interesting about the Hunger Games for us is that we tried watching the first movie and we had no fucking idea what was going on. And normally we just don't give a fuck and we go, eh, move on with our life. But for some reason, we really wanted to understand this story. We got a brief synopsis from somebody who was not trustworthy. And by that, I guess I just mean I don't respect their thoughts and articulation, if there even is any happening. And I don't mean that as like a diss per se, because we've all been there. And it's a skill you can learn. This is just clarity for us, because that's weird. Like, why would we care what they have to say? And they butchered it, of course, but intrigued. We got so intrigued, we wanted to read the books. And someone we knew had the first one. So we read it, and then it took us forever to find the second one. We had to go to the motherfucking library. And even that took like a month because people were reading it. And we finished that book in less than 24 hours, and then the third one. And we loved it. We fucking loved it. What the f is that? What a fucking brilliant story. I want to write cool shit like this. And so we say all this just to remind us how much effort we put into this story without realizing why. Until, we read it and fell in love. And we're gonna talk about it in terms of the book, but also maybe the movie. So we'll jump back here and there. But if we don't clarify, we're probably specifically talking about the books. So can we just okay. So this story is so similar, yet has its own unique flame. Because that seems like an appropriate metaphor for the girl on fire. And it's basically a story about a young female in her prime living in a society that is not a democracy. And the people are separated into districts from 1 to 13, where one is the richest people. They call it the capital. And 13 is the poorest. Well, 13 decided to try to be a revolutionary, and the people in charge obliterated them, or so they thought. And this society keeps people in line by reminding them that they have no power and no real hope for freedom of a life they choose. They're just slaves. And you are what you get. So if you're born as a rich kid, you got it made. Born in the poorer districts, you got to figure it out. No different to this life in that sense. With, even though I don't fully believe that. Okay, whatever, it's not important. so I get distracted. And because of what the District 13 did, the Powers, President Snow, decides that to keep the districts and people in line, they're going to do Hunger Games every year, I think. And this Hunger Games is for a certain age bracket of people. I don't remember specifically, but I want to say between ages 8 to age 25, maybe 18. Somewhere in this small window. I mean, when you're fighting for your life, it's probably not that small of a window. But they all compete in this arena, whatever arena is decided by the Powers. That is mostly President Snow. And they fight till the death. There can only be one victor. Can you imagine? That's fucking crazy. Some 18-year-old could potentially have to kill an 8-year-old. I mean, assuming that the games doesn't kill them, because, you know, they die from all kinds of things, because you're basically just... I've never seen Survivor, but I imagine from what I hear, it's like that, except with death. Actually, I don't know if that's accurate, because I don't know what Survivor is, but basically, you know, you can die from dehydration, from injury, and there's only one victor. One person wins. And the agreement, the terms, are that whomever wins these games never has to compete in them again, ever. They do have to still participate by being mentors and such. So it's a heavy emotional burden still. You don't really escape it, but they don't have to worry about fighting. So we meet this character, Katniss, whose father worked in the mines and died from an explosion, whose mother thereafter refused to live, basically. Didn't get out of bed, couldn't do anything, and Katniss has a younger sister. And Katniss basically had to step up as the adult leader of this household. So she taught herself how to hunt, how to sell what she hunts so that she can get monies, so that she could provide for her mother and sister, mostly her sister. And she has this person she hangs out with called Gale. Normal people would say it's a best friend or the one who's supposed she's supposed to be with, but I say fuck this fool. And I knew it immediately. This is how good my talent, skill, magical ability is for just understanding people's intention. The first time you meet this character, Gale. First time I met him in this book. He stops her from killing a big game. Deer. I think it is deer. And it's supposed to be this playful thing. And the reason is because when they pick kids from the district to enter the Hunger Games, it has to be one boy and one girl to make it fair. They call it a reaping day. And people in charge come in from the other rich districts, the capital, to make this event a thing. And so it's more dangerous. And so what he said is that he didn't let her kill it because she would have gotten in trouble. Because they're not supposed to be doing this anyways. And it was too big. Yada yada. Now, logically, rationally, he makes a good point. But I just didn't fucking like him. I didn't like how he said it. I didn't like what he said. Then they keep talking, and he talks about running away with her. To which she replies, much like in the movie, can't do that. We gotta take care of people. Okay, and then here's what I knew for sure, but I couldn't logically explain it. He then proceeds to talk about the Hunger Games and the people in power with just complete disdain and very lack mentality. And I fucking hate him for it. Because what I realized intuitively that I couldn't exactly articulate in the moment when I was reading it, because I didn't really know the story yet, was that he is all talk. But when it came down to it, no fucking action. None. He just waits around for years, tiptoeing around Katniss, just like not living any life. Like barely here, barely there. Not fighting, but not completely enjoying. Just wishy-washy. Standing on some fucking imagination, moral high ground. I don't think it's love for Katniss that he has, per se. I think he's just pathetic and gross and stuck and allowed it. And I am not meaning to say this in the way normal females would say that, because I get it. Desperate times, easier said than done to rise up against power. But there's a way to do it. And meeting PETA, immediately I was like, yes, this is the way. This is a way to do it. Not my favorite way because, yeah, in a lot of ways, PETA's a bitch. And I hate that. But there's a huge difference between him and punk ass Gale, which is he faces those fears head on and figures it out. And gets better and braver, and in turn, what I would call manlier. I just fucking hate Gale, and I was right. But we'll get there. So, this is the year her younger sister first put her name in there. I guess it's eight. I think she was supposed to be eight, because that. Okay, whatever. And so it's kind of a big day, whatever. Always is. And, she's trying to comfort her sister by telling her that her own name has been in there at least 40 times. I forget the number. It's a lot. She only has one, so you know, what are the odds statistically? And so they do this ceremony thing that's forced on them. They can't not do it. Mandatory. And really gonna talk this scene by scene? It's like it's gonna take a while. Do whatever I want with it. So I guess, oh, have you seen this? Fast forward. Or bear with me, who fucking knows. Future Vanessa, deal with it. You decide. But. Okay, so. We know what happens. I guess I should assume you don't know what happens. They go to the reaping ceremony, and then her sister's name gets called first because ladies first. She's sort of in shock. Not sort of. She's in shock. And then Katniss tries to get to her, can't, immediately volunteers for her spot. Now, this is what's not really shown in the movie. Nobody does this, okay? Nobody in the poorer districts will volunteer a spot in the fucking Hunger Games. It's just unheard of. It's never happened. Why? Because nobody wants to fucking do that shit. And I guess no older siblings cared about their younger siblings enough. I don't know. I know everybody's got their own and easy to judge, but I'm judging by my own standards because of who I'd want to be. Obviously, I want to be like Katniss. In that sense. But, okay, it's unheard of. This is literally why I love the fucking Hunger Games. The story starts because one female has so much love and care for her family, who she has assumed leadership role over, not because she wanted to, because she fucking had to, and takes that role to heart in every fucking way. In the most important ways, which is even accepting this Hunger Games bullshit that she's escaped for this long. She's almost out, or she doesn't have to fight. But she risk it all because she's not about to let her baby sister go into the games and die. Because that's what would have happened. Katniss had the advantage because she was doing things neither one was doing. Neither her mother nor her sister were fucking doing. They got to live cozy like normal females, and I say that very lightly. While Katniss took the brunt of the work by making sure that they not only had food and shelter, but that they had what they needed. And she took her job fucking seriously. And in this selfless ass moment where she's thinking of nothing and nobody but her sister and her family, she starts a fucking revolution. I mean, it already started, but she becomes the poster child for this. That's crazy. Okay, love her. Now, another reason I hated Gale is because if he really gave a fuck, he would have also volunteered to be the male in the Hunger Games by her side. Because that's what love is. You do that shit. I mean, I can't speak for everybody. We all know I'm different and crazy. But if I can't count on you in a fucking crisis, I don't see the point in having you around anymore. I know it's fucked up. It is what it is. But I feel the same way about myself. I don't want to be fucking useless. Even though, arguably, I have way more leeway because I'm not a male in this society. our society enough hunger games. Okay, so I hate Gale for doing that. But in the last movie that I saw, I forgot that PETA said, because him and Gale have this conversation, which doesn't fucking happen in the book. I don't think they have this talk, but I can't remember. But they have this talk, and Gale's like, I should have gone in the games. And PETA's like, no, you couldn't have. She would have never forgiven you because you had to take care of her family. I really thought about this because it's a valid point. It's a valid point. Prim, her sister had a goat who could give milk and cheese, but she didn't know how to go fucking sell it or like market it, or she didn't know how to be in that world. She didn't know how to hunt. Her sister told her not to take, because something else that they do that's fucked up, but I mean smart in a business sense, is that you can get more food, but it costs your name going into the Hunger Games pool. So this is how Katniss has like 40 or whatever. It's because she's like, I'll get some rice, put my name in there. I'll get some wheat, put my name in there. So she tells her sister not to do that, and nobody's as intimately close to her and her family as Gale is. He's literally the only one who could have done that. So fine, okay, maybe his character could have been redeemed for me if other things worked out better. I could have probably maybe overlooked him not joining me in the Hunger Games because it's not me. But fuck Gale. Gale doesn't volunteer, and they call PETA. And in the book, you find out later in the movies, but in the book, Katniss remembers PETA because, like it kind of touched on in Mockingjay, he works at a bakery with his parents. He was baking bread, burnt it, was supposed to give it to the pigs, and instead threw some to her. And he got reprimanded for it, which is fucked up. So fucked up. Let's not be that woman, Vanessa. Jesus. And Katniss hadn't eaten for days. She was just learning how to do shit. And so that act of kindness really stuck out to Katniss, but she's so emotionally detached because she has to be. She's got a mom who completely was succumbed by her emotions in a negative way. And then she's got Prim, who's young and naive with her emotions. So Katniss cannot afford to have emotions, frail emotions that distract her from goals that keep her and her family alive, like food and shelter and monies. Okay? She's on a different fucking mental plan here. And it's affected her emotionally. Which again makes me hate Gale because he couldn't even help her with that. Like having healthy emotions being expressed. He didn't. I'm gonna say he didn't care about her enough, but he wasn't the one, clearly. The one tries so much harder all the time, PETA. Even when she's being mean as fuck and closed, and it's impossible. It's just walls are built and they take a lot to break down, but they can be broken down. And it should only be done if it's genuine, I think, but that's just me and my ideals. I know the real world is harsh and not like that, but anyways. She is now being ushered into this life she has no idea about. She's never been to Capitol Worth Ridge. She doesn't know the lifestyle. She's not emotionally in tune because she cannot afford to be. Her thing is survival of the fucking fittest. And she's real good at that under pressure. But you know what else she is? Fucking a loyal, caring, genuine human being who will risk it all for people. Not, it turns out, not just her loved ones, but for what is right and just. Which is so goddamn admirable about her. And so they show her being immersed into this life. And I've used this comparison a lot because to me it's just, it hasn't changed. But I talk about back in the day when you had kings ruling and they had what they called a king's court, what was just made up of men and women, and that was society. And you had to act a certain way, you had to be a certain way. There were rules, there were games, there were. Unspoken things. Unspoken things. Like, you had to put on masks and you couldn't be yourself and you had to portray characters. And you're just putting on a show. So the people in power don't exercise their right to crush you, essentially. And, Katniss is too fucking real for this shit. Just like I think autism is. I don't think autism should be seen as something negative or debilitating. It's really just you're above all the societal games that we play here. Because we don't say what we mean and we don't mean what we say. We just fucking create these weird ass packages to hide shit. Literal shit. We're walking around just acting like it's not. Falling for the game. And it's, I don't know, not my favorite thing about being human, but whatever. Is a thing. And so then you got PETA, who's fucking the opposite. He's very personable. And he does this because he lacks in all the other ways he should not be lacking for being a male. Again, fucked up to have these expectations. But especially in these times, like, what in the fuck? I didn't like that very much. But, you know, at least he had strength. And he understood the games. He understood what it takes. Because here's what else is annoying, but very human. In the games, there are people called sponsors. And these sponsors are what it sounds like. They spend money so that they can get help give you things you might need in the game. So if you get injured, they pay for an ointment, or you need water. Whatever it is, they can provide it for you. But what does it take to get a sponsor? Well, unless you're fucking rich and you've been training your whole goddamn life, you need to fucking network and get people to like you. You gotta put on a show and hope that the audience loves it. And they'll be more inclined to empathize with you, root for you, thus support you. And I just understand Katniss so much because the beginning of my life was basically like her. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why you have to politic to get things done. I did not fucking get it. I didn't understand the value. And it used to just be so frustrating for me. So I thought, why are we playing these games? Just fucking be real. But people are emotional, not logical and rational. So this is why we play the games. If we were all just rational and logical, we wouldn't have to play games. We'd say, here, this is what it is, A, B, C, D. And then we would all understand each other. But we're not like that, are we? Vanessa, well, we're not specifically. And so, Katniss is just being real. That's all she knows how to be. And PETA's politicking. And he does really well to create this narrative for the two of them. It turns into a star-crossed lover situation. Which is so brilliant. Okay, then they go into the games. And Katniss thought they were getting along. Because again, don't forget, everybody else in this Hunger these Hunger Games are like, yeah, kill, be the victor. Oh, we're the best. Actually, that's the rich people. But the other people that are mediocre or poor, they're just thinking, win the games, never play again. Meanwhile, Katniss is out here thinking, this is fucking bullshit. Nobody should be doing this. I'm not trying to kill you motherfuckers unless I have to. And that's the game she plays, and she plays it exceptionally well. Meanwhile, PETA's game is politicking. So he starts working with the enemies, let's call them. Because he doesn't know what else to do, and he's just buying time. That's really all it is. But Katniss doesn't understand it, because she doesn't understand people and the games that we play. And so she thinks enemy and we can understand why she would think that. And she just does the most humane things. There's the young contestant in this game's, his name was Rue, who was 8, took a liking to her. And so in the games, she ends up helping Katniss survive, takes care of her, and then they form this friendship where Katniss again just assumes that leadership role that she knows so well. And Rue becomes like her sister that she's got to protect. And it's so genuine and beautiful because nobody else is out here thinking like that. Because how could you? This is barbaric. Okay, then they do that thing where they say that for once ever, for the first time ever, two people in the same district can win together because people want to see the star-crossed lovers and there's Snow trying to basically obliterate Katniss, whose spark of hope could turn into a fire of revolution, which he does not want, obviously. And oh my god, I'm already so bored just talking about, I feel like I'm just talking about this again. It's like, why hear me when you can read the books and watch the movie? Okay, I gotta take a break. I'm getting annoyed. Oh! Okay, well, I really didn't think I was gonna be able to come back to this, but fuck it, I'm gonna try again. It's a new day. And so, I was supposed to think about this topic and really brainstorm so I would know which direction I wanted this conversation to go, but I didn't do that, of course. And instead of just saying everything that happens, I'm gonna try to talk more about the characters individually, maybe, and then see if that feels better. Because at this rate, I should just watch the movies and talk like I did The Nightmare Before Christmas last year. You know, if I'm gonna copy it, so. Basically, I just really love and admire Katniss as a character, as the heroine. She's relatable and also not. And the main thing, excuse me, that caught my interest with her is the fact that she sacrificed for people she loved. Same. That's exactly who I want to be and try to be. And ultimately, what I train myself for every day in the grunt work that feels so pointless, but I'm believing is going to have a payoff in the end for me. And so we stick to it. But she's so authentic. And not playing these games. She is not about the games. She no bullshit, and I love that about her. And she just, I don't know, I really understood her thought process throughout the whole books, like the whole story. It just made sense to me. Because in the beginning of my life, I was a lot like her. Like, I became hardened and didn't know things about people. How to people effectively. And it hurt me in the sense of I couldn't get people to like me or their cooperation. You know, I always had to coerce them or get crazy. And even that didn't work. And I just like that throughout the games, this story actually, not just the games, but she learns to become more in touch with her emotions and vulnerability. Further reminding the reader that it is important. It's an important part of being human. Dealing with emotions effectively. And just reminding also what a privilege it is to not have to bear the weight of protecting and providing for the group, and instead be able to be emotional and vulnerable and these feminine qualities, let's say. Because again, it was Katniss, her mom, and her sister. Her mother's fucking useless, and her sister's too goddamn little. I think that's fucking wild. I would have taken her with me. I would have taught her how to do these things, but that's just me, and the point is that she needed that, but there were bigger things afoot, right? The state that they were in, which was not democracy. Still, you're human, you have emotions. It's like half of what we do. Emotions, the other half is just fucking up. And I liked this character Peeta for her because he was emotional. Like, he helped her open the side. And normally, that can be gross for me because male characters like this are super feminine. That's gross to me. And Peeta starts off like that. He's kind of chumpy. He's scared. He doesn't know how to fucking do shit that men should know how to do. Like, why don't you know how to fucking hunt and kill some shit and build shit and be a man? Again, these are all societal things that, like, females are conditioned to want, I guess. Or maybe some of it's innately biological, also. I'm not saying it's fair, and I'm not trying to talk shit about him. I'm saying, like, these are initial thoughts and feelings I had, at least. But the difference to me between him and Gale is that Peeta goes on this journey regardless. Granted, he has no choice. Okay, he dies either way. If you don't enter the games, you're dead. So you might as well just enter it and try, even though you might be dead. And so he lacks in all these areas that Katniss doesn't. But where she lacks, he has the skills, people skills, which are important skills. Probably the most important. There are so many instances in the games where Katniss could have died, Peeta could have died, and because of the sponsors, the people, they were able to get what they needed and last throughout the whole game. And I think we underestimate it. Like, there's this one character, you see her in the movie, and it's in the first movie. She's that redhead chick, and she's so fast, and she's so quiet. That bitch really knew how to immerse into fucking the world around her and not be seen. And her skill was impeccable. Exceptional, even. And you know how she died? Because she fucking ate berries that were poison. Like, that's fucking crazy. This is why the strongest aren't the ones who survive. Because shit like this happens. Shit you can't account for. Variable change. And I know it's easy for people to think it's just people, it's not that big of a deal. No, it is. It really is. It literally is the difference between life and death, success and failure. Because you can't do it all alone. But with females, at least in the West, we're so conditioned so deeply to think that we can do it alone and that we want to, but that's not for the good of the whole. And people have strengths that other people have weaknesses, and together you become a strengthened unit, and there's so much power in that. When all is lost, when society has gone to shit, all you have is each other, people. And yes, you can have skills and be assets, and you can know how to do things like hunt and kill and provide, etc., etc. But if you cannot politic, you're doomed. Because people are emotional, they're not logical and rational. And you need a person who understands that, who understands people, to navigate those waters. Because if you're not delicate, things can go to shit so fast. And you fuck yourself in the long run. Like, for me, it used to be really hard because I would just react and then I would pay for it later. Like, let's say I offended somebody and then I needed them for something, and then they'd give me a hard time because I was such a bitch about it, about something else. And why was I a bitch? It's kind of irrelevant, but like, I knew who they what they were about, that they would be like this regardless. But what I didn't realize is that with tact and people skills, I saved myself a lot of fucking headache and time. Because maybe they would have not liked me anyways, but they could have been amicable. They were required to do certain things because of a like job, so they would have had to be. But my ignorance and inability to understand people fucked myself in the long term. So it's really important to know these things, how to effectively people. And he knew how to do that. And he was good at putting on that show. And then what I like is that like he's not a great fighter or whatever in the first movie, fine. But he tries. And I think that he has solid character, which is what ultimately I think earns him my favor. That and his willingness to try. He is a lot of things, like scared, doesn't know how to survive, can't hunt. And through this process of the games, and he learns. He's figuring it out as he goes. And even though he's afraid, whenever he has to step up for Katniss or even somebody else, he does. We're only human, and the stuff that they endured is fucking nuts. And if I or anybody thinks that when put in that situation, you wouldn't be fucking cowardly, then we clearly are just so privileged. We have no idea. We can't fathom it. So that's fine. And the beauty is in him learning. And just willing to learn and put in the effort. And I know it's like, oh, well, he would have died. Yeah, but he thought he was gonna die anyway. He literally believed from the day his name was called out that he was gonna die. And he still was doing his thing, trying. And it worked out. He linked up with somebody who had exactly what he lacked. And same thing with her. And even more than this, they were together. And they got to be in like worst case scenario. I really, this is what it boils down for me. This is why I love this book so much. So many reasons, but one of them is this is what it boils down to for me. I need to know that in these types of situations, you're not gonna fucking bail and crumble. And just be a huge pussy. This is the only time, arguably, strength actually matters. Strength of character, mind, heart, soul, body, whatever, all of it. Because what is the fucking point if we cannot endure this? If we cannot get through this? Why the fuck am I here? Wasting my time. And he really steps up for her, and she for him. Obviously, you know, she's about that. But she's not about it emotionally, and she takes forever. But ultimately, he's the one who opens her up. Yeah, he has to get taken prisoner of war and then get brainwashed and hate her for her to soften. But she didn't leave him abandoned. She didn't say, oh, well, this is lost. She fought every goddamn second for him and for people she loves. That's who she is. All the time, constantly. Not once faltering. Him saying the most fucked up shit to her, nearly killing her. And still, she understood fundamentally, this is not him. And I'm not leaving here until he is him. I mean, she sort of gets wishy-washy-ish. But when it comes down to it, she's there for him. It opens up her emotionally, which is so cool to see her soften up. And I love that. They grew together. What the fuck was Gale doing this whole goddamn time with her? For fucking years. Years! Basically living in a Hunger Games. It's just the urgency wasn't there. But you're still living in a Hunger Games in real life. What the fuck were you doing? Nothing. Not saying shit. Not doing shit. Not being about shit. Why the fuck were you wasting everybody's time? I don't know. I have a real personal hatred for Gale since the moment I met him in this book. So maybe there's a bias there. But seriously, what a waste of fucking time. And I'm the asshole because I'm too intense. Fuck that. I'll take this intensity over that bullshit any day. You're just gonna sit and let life pass you by. Okay, great. He easily could have spent that time trying to open her up emotionally. Really stepping up to be the male figure here, protective provider, but no, she took the lead and he allowed it. Without him trying. And yeah, maybe he was tougher than PETA at first. I don't give a fuck. Was a completely different connection. And in Gale's, nothing opened up. Nobody. She literally would only kiss him when she felt sorry for him. That's fucked up, but. Hilarious to me. And while we're on the subject, so I can just dead this conversation with him, this motherfucker Gale talked all this shit about people in power. Talked so much shit about PETA being a prisoner of war, calling him names, saying, oh, I would never do that. I don't care if I was tortured. Sounds like somebody who's never fucking been tortured. You really don't know what you're made of till you're put to that test. And that test doesn't come around as much. And even if it did, we're not always as strong as we hope we are. There's a pain threshold, and we're pretty weak with it. So he talks all this shit, runs his mouth like a bitch. And then what does he do? In the book, he leaves to join the new government forces that they're working for in this revolution. And I don't know what the movie was trying to do because that was confusing. But in the book, he had orders Okay, this is coming from a guy who's like, I don't care what the orders are, I'll do what I want, do what's right. Upon orders to send a bomb down, not only was it a place filled to the brim with children, but Katniss's little sister, because she became a medic, because her mom used to be a medic before she quit life, and then when Katniss won the games, she kind of had to, get back to it. So her little sister got into medicine, and so she was on the front lines with these children, just seeing to their wounds. This motherfucker knew she was there, knew it was wrong to kill children, and still did it. And his reason? Orders. Fuck that fool. After all was said and done, he's still alive, fucking chump. And he takes a job at the the new capital, as government official, high ranking, even, and lives that life, the life he talked all this fucking shit about. Acting like he gave a fuck that he killed Katniss's sister. No, he didn't. No, he did not. So, again, what the fuck was he doing this whole time? I fucking hate him. Okay, so he's done now. And basically, we just have this beautiful love story. In the midst of surviving and uprising and all that. And another really critical part that made me love the story was how the author made us have Snow as the enemy, but then somehow, without saying it outright, the new leader coin became the villain. While I was reading this, I thought I was fucking taking crazy pills. I had to reread it a few times because I kept thinking, why do I feel like she's the enemy? Why do I want Katniss to kill her? And then it happened. That shit was fucking wild. I was really impressed with that. That was a cool twist that I did not expect. Thoroughly enjoyed. And couldn't believe it happened. It was amazing. I also want to talk about Snow, though, this perceived enemy. And while I agree that he's pretty terrible, I guess you could say there's a lot of evidence to support the fact that he's terrible by human standards. Okay, fine, I'll say that. But the thing is, it's just sort of annoying how people we can cry about things, systems, foundations, and say how they're unfair and cry about all this negative shit, but we can't even give the respect deserved to acknowledge what a feat it is to even develop a system. Snow system wasn't perfect. Show me one that is. If it's here on Earth, with humans, there's so many flaws. I know that you can never show me that. Nothing is perfect here. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You gotta account for variable change. And his system wasn't perfect, and it was barbaric. But can we at least fucking appreciate the longevity it had? There was order to the chaos. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying this is how it should be done. Clearly, it's not either of those things. But it takes a lot to build something that substantial and thorough and have it last. It takes an exceptional individual to perform these things, to put that much thought into it and have it work, and then fucking sit at the tippy top like a king because of what he built. People built it, but he had the vision. Without him, it wouldn't have come to life. Maybe that would have been a good thing. Well, definitely. So people want to act like it's no big deal. Oh, it's wrong. Yeah, it is. It's also pretty incredible that he could even build something like this. Sustain it, let alone build it. I know he's the enemy, and I agree, but I respect Snow. Because of what I just described, and then because he wasn't a liar. He made that very clear when we meet him in the story, and he's talking to Katniss. He's very frank. And he does not waver from that. That's fucking character. Everything else, ugh. Again, not saying it's right, not saying it's the way to be. Say what you will, even if it's true. He also did not lie, and that's respectable to me. I appreciate that. He fundamentally believes in killing only for purpose. And I know that that sounds fucking crazy and wild because it's like a sick thing. But so many people, we're just thoughtless out here and we just do things and don't think about it. We're not calculated or strategic. And he thought Snow things down to a T. Making sure that things were purposeful and useful to keep the system running smoothly. Albeit a terrible fucking system. And also to anybody with vision like that wanting to build things amazing, great. Already you're above everyone. But not like in the sense where you should be a douche about it, but maybe think about not being fucking a psychopath. Please. Okay, I know that's rich coming from crazy me. But hey, I said dumber shit, so. Just throwing it out there, don't bother sending it back. There's probably a couple other instances and characters I didn't touch on that I'll regret later, like I always do. And then I'll beat myself down a little because if I had more planning and probably vision, I could have remembered these things and there would have been a better flow. But we're not there yet, and maybe we might never be, at least not here on this podcast. We have plans to do other things on the line, but we just don't want to be on video. But you know what? We're working through it. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Basically, Hunger Games, Vanessa. We loved it. It was a great fucking story. We learned a lot. And, it happened serendipitously. And we just followed the hunch, like always. We didn't really question it. I mean, we did, but not enough to stall us from taking action. And it just further proves that when we do these things, if we listen to the right cues, it will not lead us astray. And people aren't gonna always understand our moves and what we're doing and why we do what we do. We don't even fully understand a lot of the times. We just get inclinations to do things and we go, all right, got it. And we do it. Or we just don't. No, if it's a hunch, we're guided, we do it. We do it. Because we pay if we don't. And we don't want to pay that price no more. So things will reveal themselves. And we don't have to know all the answers right away. It's fine. What? Like, people are going to see us even dumber and crazier? Probably, but like, we care. Can't focus on that at all. But just remember that even if it don't make no sense up front, you do it anyways. You know the cues to listen to, and you know when they're real. So just keep doing what you're doing, follow the hunches, and in the end, you'll know exactly why. And even if you don't know exactly why, you're gonna just have a knowing that this was the best thing you could do. Good for you. You listened. Just adding more positivity to the wheel and world that we live in now. So it's a great thing. Remember that. Trust yourself. Keep developing and solidifying your foundations of stone. We'll be back again.